We've been talking about how you can be the greatest in the kingdom of God. How you can be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, I did a series in the latter part of last year called Walking with the Greatest, because we were talking about how love is the greatest of the spiritual gifts and the spiritual operations and everything. That prophecy and healing and miracles, all that stuff, it comes second place to walking in love and treating people the right way. But now we wanted to move on into just from walking with the greatest to you actually becoming the greatest. It's kind of a sequel, but it's a little spin, a little different. Now, if we can throw that logo up there, we actually talked about last week that in order to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to do it through serving. Now, that doesn't mean like being a butler, and that doesn't mean just from, walking around with a towel over your arm, what can I do for you? Okay? What we meant by that is for you to meet somebody that you come across as needs. Whoever that person is, whatever their need is, it doesn't, you start talking about meeting needs, people immediately go to financial, and financial is just a small part of it. In fact, most of the time, if all you're doing is meeting people's financial needs, you're actually not serving them very much at all. You're just giving them a little temporary fix. Now, that is a little part of it, but we were talking about serving them in any need that they have. Whether that's a listening ear, or maybe you're going to help them move, or being something that being a friend when they need it. We said to you last week, in everything you do, you must be serving the people in your life, including employees and employers, including your kids. Yeah, your kids need to serve you and serve the family, and your kids need to listen to you, and your employees need to listen to you. But how are you making them better in your life? How are you meeting a need in their life? That's what we started talking about last week. Every person you encounter, you are called to serve in some way. Okay? Serving has nothing to do with wages or being in charge. The word that we read to you in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10 says this: For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. This word minister is the Greek word diakoneo, and this does not only mean preaching and teaching, but it also means serving to meet the needs of people in order to show the goodness of God. If you can't meet the needs of people in some way, they will never receive any other ministry from you. If you don't serve them in some way, they're not going to receive any ministry from you. I in Tulsa, when I was working at that big church out there, I worked at Rhema Bible Church and taught at the school. And if you don't know what that is, it's big. I'll just leave it at that, okay? It's a big church, a lot of influence in the community. And we would have to tell the church people all the time, if you're going to go out to a restaurant, you make sure you tip really well. Because nobody really wants to see a fish on the back of your car if you're going to leave a 50-cent tip on a $25 bill. Nobody cares about that. In fact, you are actually going to do more damage for the kingdom if you don't tip well. What does that have to do with it? It's serving those people. Those people that served you, you're serving them by tipping them. And if you don't tip good, guess what? You're making, and you come in and preach to them, or you're going to see the fish on the back, or your Christian t-shirt or whatever, you're actually making that look worse. If I want people to receive what's on my car or on my shirt or what's coming out of my mouth in the preaching sense, I need to serve them. And again, tipping is a small thing, but I shouldn't have a big fish on my car or a Holy Ghost fire on my car or a dove or whatever you put on your car if you're not going to go out and look good to other people as far as treating them right and serving them, all right? So if I can't meet the needs of people in some way, they're never going to receive any other ministry from me, all right? Then the last thing we said to you was it has great benefits to you. There are many benefits to living your life as a servant. when we take our mind off of our problems and off of our life and start helping to serve others, God always meets our need. All right? It always leads to you becoming greater. Now, before I get started today, I got a real short video, I believe. You got that right, Darnell? And I want you to watch this, please. That scripture right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, says this: "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Now, I probably need to stop for a second before we go any further. If you have your phone and you got the YouVersion Bible app on there, you can follow along if you go to the live events section and hit the live events section and put in Direction Church. It'll bring up all of my notes that I put in there for the day. All the scriptures are there, and a place for you to do your own notes so that you can, like, if I say something, you can expound on that with your own notes, and then at the end you can email it to yourself, and then you have a copy forever. So go ahead and take advantage of that, and then just go ahead and hold your Bibles up and say, no, I'm just kidding. That was my little Joel Osteen lean there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, let me read that to you. I'm just going to read the whole thing. "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable." But look at these next words. "Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Meaning what? Some of the things we do in our life is useless. But when we work for the Lord, it's never useless. And in the church, there is something more than just the fivefold ministry gifts. Okay? The fivefold ministry gifts have been put here to proclaim the word so that folks can understand and their faith can grow in God as good as we, the fivefold ministry gifts, are led to share them. But the best way for people to see God is the bigger part of ministry in the church. There is a larger part of ministry in the church than just the fivefold ministry. Now, there are, we'll get into what those are, but there are five ministry gifts that stand in the pulpit. There's five of them. Okay, we're going to get into that in just a second. But there is a bigger ministry in the body of Christ than it's bigger than all five ministry gifts put together. That is the ministry of helps. Now, in any church, there are way more ministry of helps people that and ministry of helps that's going on than any fivefold ministry gift ever. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 says this: Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. My job as one of the fivefold ministry gifts is to build up the bigger part of ministry in the church, and that is the ministry of helps. That is my job. My job is not to be the one that does everything. My job is to build up the biggest part of ministry in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 28, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Actuality, there are a whole lot more people of in helps ministry than there are in pulpit ministry. Now, again, all the pulpit ministry is what everybody sees, and whatever background you come from. What is the one thing? If you grew up Catholic, you know about the priest. If you grew up in a denomination church, you knew about the pastor. If you grew up in Pentecostals, you started learning more about the evangelist and the prophet and the apostle. A lot of the other denominations don't cover those other three offices very often, but there are five ministry gifts. But if you think about it, in a church, it doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people there or if there's 65 people there. There's one person standing up front preaching, and there's multitudes compared to that actually doing something to make the church happen. All right? It is the largest, helps ministry, is the largest and most vital role in the church. There is nothing greater than the helps ministry. Thank you for that enthusiastic amen. Without the helps ministry, the other gifts are in serious trouble. And I don't care how anointed they are. They may be able to lay their hands on people and raise them from the dead. I don't care if they can stand up and prophesy and it just makes so much sense to some. I don't care if they can read your mail. I don't care if they can lay hands on the sick and watch limbs grow out. I don't care. None of that matters if there's no helps ministry. The other gifts are in serious trouble. Listen, Jesus himself, who is the Lord, the dude walked on water, walked through walls, walked through crowds of people that were trying to stone him without them even realizing what happened. We're talking heavy packing dude here. We're talking the ministry everybody wishes they had that kind of. He had it. No internet, no partner letter, no TV show, no nothing, and the multitude still followed him around. Powerful minister, the most powerful. And guess what he had to have? He had to have somebody help him. Now you'd think with all of the anointing that he could just cause things to happen and people would just get it. Y'all remember when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000? Was he the one out there handing out loaves and fish? No, he had 12 disciples doing it. Okay? Jesus himself needed help in the ministry. And if he needed help and relied heavily on the ministry of helps, then who are we to belittle it like it's no big deal? Oh, he's just talking about helps today. I'm beyond that. No, we're not. If Jesus needed it, every church needs it. Every minister needs it. Okay? We can't belittle it. We can't look down on it. We can't say it's not that big a deal and it's not that important and there's not a real strong need for it. Friends, if you have a mentality that the church doesn't really need my help right now, you are in a wrong position of wrong thinking. The church always needs help because we're supposed to be doing more than what we're doing right now, and we can't do it without help. Come on, somebody. It's not a good place to be quiet. It's important, and we have to allow ourselves to think that the pastor can't do, I can't do everything. And I shouldn't be doing everything. Serving in the church is the largest ministry office because the more effective it is, the church, the more influence, the more resources, and the more reach the church has. Without help, it will always suffer and it will always be smaller than it's called to be. Every church that is exploding right now is not exploding just because God showed up and they had a good service. Now, we can go back and look at all kinds of big, huge moves of God, and there have been a lot of them. There was a couple here in this state, Brownsville, and there was another one. There was a big tent revival with, I don't even remember where it was, Lakeland, just down the road. Those things did real well for a while, but then fizzled out because they didn't have anybody to help hold the structure of it up. If you came from another church, I want to say something to you. You're a product of the helps ministry more than you're a product of the pastor of that church. Really? I mean, he spoke so many things into my life that impacted me. Yeah, but he might not have spoke those things to you if he had to worry about the sound going out, or he had to be there to make the coffee, or if something went wrong in the church service, he was the one that they had to stop. Stop, come fix this. He was not the one. He probably wouldn't have influenced you if he had to teach every Sunday school class, because it would have been like, okay, kids, Jesus loves me. I'll be right back. And he'd run over to like a movie somewhere. And he'd be like, okay, teenagers, yo, Jesus loves me. And he'd be, okay, hold on a second. And he'd run over to the adults, the young adult service. And he'd be like, hey, Jesus loves you, even though you're single and you ain't been on a date in 10 years. And he'd run over to the adults and older folks. And he'd be like, Jesus loves thee. And then he would run back to the kids. He's not going to influence you that greatly, is he? You're a product of the ministry of helps at that church more than you are a product of the pastor. The people who opened the door for you on Sunday mornings, you may not have noticed them, but they impacted you. The people that taught your Sunday school class, they impacted you. The ushers and greeters that took up the offering and handled all the, and took the finances to make sure it didn't get stolen and it actually got put into the church account, you were influenced by that, whether you never saw it. It's not like, I'm going to need a video of how you produce, or how you take care of offerings. No, they didn't do that for you. You are a product of people working behind the scenes. The church was able to keep the lights on, and you were able to keep coming because somebody did their job. The children's ministry folks who took care of your kids so you could come in here and float around for a couple hours freely. I don't have any kids smearing boogers on me. Hallelujah. I don't have to change any diapers right now. That's why parents stand around and talk so long after service. Don't lie. It's the truth. They want to stand around and talk because it's like, oh, I got to go back to bondage here in just a few minutes. The band who spent countless hours rehearsing and screaming and saying, no, start it over and do it again. You're off pitch. Here's your key. So that you could stand here and get lost in the presence of God. If they got up there and all sung off key and played or whatever, and Dane didn't keep time on the drums, and all the rest of the instrument players up here, Mike was just playing whatever he wanted to play, and Jamie, our new rock and bass player, come on, somebody. She's just playing whatever she wants to play, and Mikey and Melissa are over here having dueling banjos on their acoustics. And Jody's singing. Listen, I'm going to say this. This week, we helped with Terry's dad's funeral, and we're so glad to have the whole family here this morning. It's so good to have you all here. What a tremendous funeral for this man. I never met him, but my goodness, I mean, it was just pastor after pastor after pastor was there. And everybody want to talk about Jody singing. She sang. Now, y'all have never really heard Jody's wheelhouse. Jody's, this is good, okay? But Jody's is like Sandy Patty, pin it to the back wall type of singer, okay? Now, she really is. I mean, she stands up there. I mean, when she used to go sing with Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and those kind of folks on the Crusades, she was the one that would sing the big healing ballad song right before the ministry got, you know, and he would, you know, she was one of the ones that Benny would spin around and go, "Yes, sing it again." I mean, that's Jody. Okay? If Jody got up there and just sang her operatic style and she's singing that, and Sully's over here singing in Spanish, and Jason's over there singing his country twang thing, what kind of, are you going to get lost in worship, or are you going to sit there and go, "Oh my God, what are they doing?" and get offended and walk out? And if Darnell's sitting back there in the back and he just turns everything off, sound, everything goes off, and you can't hear half the instruments anymore. See what I'm saying? You actually are enjoying the benefits of Helps Ministry. Okay? When they don't get the words right on the screen, how many of you notice it? Come on, be honest. It's something we talk about all the time. It's not like we're just here to throw stones at the tech department. I'm just saying, you notice it, don't you? But when the words are right, you forget about it, right? You just follow right along. Why? You're a product of their ministry. Now, I want to say this, okay? All of these people make it so easy that you don't even think about all they were doing, and you could sit back and effortlessly receive the preaching from the one pastor. I'm one person doing my job today. There's 20 other people doing their jobs today. But we need more than that. At this church, we are in the process of building that kind of ministry. And I want to say this. We want to call and invite you to be a part of the biggest ministry in the body of Christ. It is the biggest ministry. And that is the ministry of help! It's not a second-rate place. It's not unimportant. Okay? It isn't, it's not worth, it's not that it's not worthy of our best. Helps was designed by God to be a blessing to the body. Now, if you go and look up the word helps in that scripture we just read, it's the word antilepsis, that's the Greek word, which means to lay hold of in order to support. Meaning this, you can't help from osmosis. Now listen, we covet your prayers, we do. We love it. We love the fact that there's people praying for us. We know that. But that's not what I'm talking about today. Meaning this, the kind of helps and the kind of serving that we're talking about and being the greatest in the kingdom is not just, "Oh God, help them." It means to lay hold of in order to support. If the roof was caving in, we couldn't just stay. We put poles up like this. That's what we're talking about. That's what it is. Okay? You can't help unless you're connected. Those of you who are hesitating, sitting on the fringe, not connecting, you're missing out on a chance in this church to minister on the largest level in the body of Christ with an anointing that is just as anointed as the fivefold ministry gifts. Guys, I know people right now that serve in the helps ministry. If you ask them to get up and preach, they would look at you like mortified. Like, oh my God, are you crazy? Be petrified to stand up in front of a crowd. Listen, I was on staff at a church of 8,000. So we had a lot of ministry of helps people. But I know people that would run the ministry of helps people that could pray for the sick and watch radical, crazy things happen. Why? Because they're operating in the same anointing. Doesn't matter if they, you know, oh, I've been called and the Lord laid a coal and a fire in my right hand and said, I'm giving you a special anointing. No, they got hooked up with the anointing that's on the church and they produced the same fruit that the pastors were producing. I've watched many helps ministries, people pray for people while in the middle of serving and watch miracles happen. I've seen deaf people start speaking in the lobby by a greeter and a couple of others laying hands on them. Why? Because the anointing was there. I've watched ushers in catching lines be catching in the healing services. And they come down the row and the Hagans or whoever would be praying for people, and there'd be people. And before they would even get there, the ushers would be in agreement with, and they would have their hands out ready and would literally feel a transfer of power, transfer from them to the person they're getting ready to catch, and the person drop and get up healed before anybody ever got to them. Why? Because they're just as anointed. They are just, and if you don't know what the word anointed means, that means they are just as much under the power of God as the person standing in the pulpit. God anoints those who are in the helps ministry, and today is all about serving and how you can be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And the way that you do that is to get involved. So here's a few guidelines. If you want to serve and you want to be part of the greatest ministry in the body of Christ, here it is. Number one, don't be impartial. Everybody is valuable. Everybody. No matter their background, color, race, nationality, financial ability, age, or whatever, everyone is worthy to be served with warmth and love. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse number 2. For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another one comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? In the church, we're called to love and serve everyone. And the helps ministry, again, is vitally important because the helps ministry reaches people first. Where's all my greeters at that gave me a standing ovation when I walked in last week? Which made me laugh. Yeah, I want it again. Stand up. No, I'm just kidding. The last week, I walked in. Listen, though. That crew right there is the first impression in the church. They're hugely important. Okay? Here's the thing. If you get involved in greeting, here's what you're doing. It's not just, I got to show up at 8:30, and I got to have a team meeting, and it's just like, why? There's only 60 people there. It's more than that. Here's what you're doing. You're representing God to everybody that walks through that door first. When people come in that door and we get to the point where we got to have people showing people to seats because we don't have enough room, which won't be long. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. All right. Guess what? Ushers, you're important. Because if you got to help somebody find a seat, you're representing God to somebody who walks in and goes, I need help finding a seat. And the way you help them find a seat, if you say to them, oh, there's probably something over there, probably, huh? What does that say about God to meeting their needs? They go to pray to God and they go, well, is God going to say to me, oh, there might be something somewhere in my word, maybe, but I don't know. It's over there in Leviticus somewhere. What kind of response are we giving? Or how are we making God look to other people? Jesus didn't show favoritism in his ministry. He helped everyone who came to him with eager importance. And we need to follow his example. No impartiality. Number two, everyone has a part to play. The Helps ministry is a team effort and not a place for all stars or ball hogs. And you know what I mean by that, right? We don't need somebody that's all about them. If it's all about you, go make it about you somewhere else. We want it to be about us. Not us. Not me and Jody. Us. It's not a place for you to rise up and have people follow you. It's not a place where people should be looking at you because you're you. It is a place where you bring your talents to the church for the benefit of the church. It's not a place for, you know, you to be able to put it on your resume. I'm an usher captain and I have 10 ushers underneath of me and I know how to wrangle people. That's not what this is all about. I'm the soloist on Sunday morning and I sing in front of thousands. That's not what this is all about. I'm the youth pastor and I've got 75 kids in a church of 75. It's not what this is about. Okay, everyone involved has to work together, but at the same time, doing what you do best. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1. At one time, now you guys, this almost sounds like a fairy tale, but listen to the words in this. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words, which means this. In Orlando, that would really mean something. Seriously. There are parts of town you drive in, if you speak English, you're in trouble. I went into a place the other day to buy some beauty supplies. I'll leave it at that. And I was in there, and nobody in there spoke English. Nobody. And I was asking questions. I was holding up, how much is this? And they're like, no hablo español. And I was like, no. I was about to call Sully and hand her the phone and say, can you ask her this for me, please? That means something. In this time and date, everybody spoke the same language in this part of the story, okay? As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. Let us make us, this will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Verse number 6, look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. Now here's the part that almost sounds like a fairy tale. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Now we're talking Bible times. People were barely shoed and clothed. We're not talking an advanced, you know, civilization here. We're not talking about, you know, space shuttle times or, you know, Houston, we have a problem. None of that. And they're still going to build a tower that reaches into heaven. And this is what the Lord says. Nothing that they are wanting to do will be impossible for them. Meaning what? Because they're all thinking the same thing and they're all going in the same direction, they're going to figure this out. This is how the body of Christ actually functions at its best, y'all. It isn't about people rising up to be the lead dog or the lead ministry in the land or anything like that. When we put down our differences and stop everybody trying to be a hot dog, we actually all gel together and become a mighty moving force. when everyone plays their part as good as they can, even when they think it's silly because the need isn't that great, the Bible says nothing will be withheld from them. Oh, but it's really not that important right now. Are you still doing it your best? Because if you're doing your best, I'm doing my best, everybody else doing their best, guess what? Nothing, come on somebody, get this. Nothing can be withheld from us. Churches that grow, ministries that grow, happen not because the anointing on the pastor is so great, but it's because they have a team willing to do all of the help necessary to make the thing run. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3. And those of you who are new, Amos is a book in the Bible, not a cookie. Amos is real, okay? Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Meaning this, you can't put your arm with somebody and decide you're going to walk one direction and then walk the other. How many of you married people in here? Married people in here? And when you all grabbed arms there at the end, what if he would have took off walking that way and you're trying to walk down the aisle, wives? There would have been a lot of somebody's going to be kicking and screaming while the other one's dragging the other one off, or there was going to be a complete separation. They're walking completely away from each other. Two people can't walk together unless they agree on the direction. Listen, if we're going to grow up, then we need all of you agreeing with us and walking in the same direction with us. Unity is vital. You're being asked right now. And listen, if this is your first time here, I'm asking you too. If this is your second time, third time, you're still kind of, I don't know. I'm asking you anyway. Get on board and serve. But it has to be on the terms that are for the greater good, not just what suits you. It must be a willingness to run linked arms together with a vision. And it makes your job so much easier in the church when we're running together. Brings me to number three, do your part. When serving in the local church, it's vitally important to do your thing and let people do their thing. Don't just jump over because somebody else's department looks funner or you think you can do it better. Don't just drop what you're doing and run. Well, I'm just kind of standing here waiting for people to come in the door. I can go do something else. Listen, if we ask you to do something and you agree to do it, stay there and do it, even if it's you're going, oh, that I could do that better. Why is that so important? You might even get happier if you were working in another department. But if you leave your post and stop doing what you're supposed to do, you're actually showing you have no integrity over the small thing we put you over. Which makes, why would I trust you with that over there? If you get involved and you're not happy and you want to change up, discuss it with your whoever's in charge and let's find a way to get you switched. Okay? So there's not a dip that happens where we're going. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit of wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and the teaching of the word." I've already said this once, but I can't do everything. Jody can't do everything. Chris and Sully can't do everything. Terry can't do everything. The elders can't do everything. The department heads can't do everything. We need more of you who will serve the needs of the church, which is called to serve the people. All right? I'm going to read you a real famous story, and then we'll close. Exodus chapter 17. While the people of, verse number 8, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hands, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Now that almost seems like, again, one of those stories, like, is that really in the Bible? I mean, all somebody was doing was holding up Moses' arms when his arms got tired. Now, I preached a sermon like this, and a friend of mine preached it too at a youth camp. And for 45 minutes, I made everybody in the room hold their hands up. And they started to get their hands, and I'd be like, you put them hands back up! And we did it, and we did it, and we kept doing it, and I was preaching the whole time like this. And my buddy that did it, the first time I ever heard that, I was about ready to kill him because my arms were hurting. But we kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. Hold your hands up just for, you don't have to do it right now, but you hold your hands up for a minute and tell me you don't start feeling that. Hold them up for 10 minutes if you can. Try it. It's hard. Everybody's like, it's not that big a deal at first. It gets a big deal real quick. We had guys that run marathons that were like 7 minutes into it. You could start seeing them starting to get a little uncomfortable. Get them up! Guys that were in shape, hold your hands up and try that. And watch what, and tell me that what Aaron and Hur did weren't important. Because every time Moses held his hands up, the army won. And every time his arms came down, they started losing. All they were doing was standing there holding his hands up. Made all the difference in the world. Made all the difference in the world. When the ministry of helps is strong, the anointing on the minister can actually be stronger. Name your, just in your head right now, name your favorite minister out there. Dang right. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, seriously, whoever you like to go see, whoever you watch on television, whoever it is, without their team, they would not be as good as they could be. If the congregations in America would do their part and serve in the ministry of helps, there'd be such stronger manifestations of God's presence, God's power, and more, watch this now, efficient pulpit ministry would take place on a regular basis. And the church, the ministry, and the kingdom of God would grow. Acts 6, verse 7. So God's message, now this was after they put those people in place that we read there just a few minutes ago. God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. The very people who were complaining turned into converts, and the church grew. Why? Because people, they put these guys in place. Then those guys had people under them and under them. And when they put it in place, the church was allowed to grow and flourish and manifest. You're being called today. I'm asking. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Serve your fellow man. I believe in that. I preached about that last week. Serve them. Meet their needs. But get involved here at the church. This has been a real big vision month this month. We've been preaching about vision and direction and things like that all month long. And we're going to switch some things up next week. But you have been asked to get involved in some way, shape, or form. Some people, the way they help might be as an advisor. I have people that call me all the time and give me advice, sound advice, good advice. Guess what they're doing? They're helping. Some of you got an invite this week for children's ministry. That we need to talk about some things that's going on down there. Donna's been having 25 and 30 kids down there by herself. Guess what that means? She's going bald quickly because she's pulling her hair out. And I used to make this joke at Rhema all the time, but it rings true here. Every week, the kids are winning. Some of you we asked to get involved. We're having a meeting after service. Listen, if you're parents, if you're a parent and you have kids down there, you need to stay after today for this brief meeting. If you have a heart for kids, well, I don't really like to change diapers. I didn't say babies. I said kids. We need help. You're being asked. Billy Graham said this, for every one volunteer that you get in your church, you can expect to increase the size of the church by four people. Four people. So, if our goal right now, there's 200 seats sitting in here, we want to fill this room up, how many volunteers is that? 200 divided by four, 50. We're not even close to that. Well, if you start, you know, causing limbs to grow out and stuff like that, and people will come running. Yeah, they will, but we ain't going to keep them unless we have the infrastructure in place. We need you. We need you. Other people, you might be, you know, called to, you know, I'm quiet and I don't really want to, I don't know what to do. We got a tech room back there. You can close the door and nobody will bother you. If you're one of those people that have all kinds of personality, we want to talk to you about greeting. You're strong, you know, strong, handsome, good-looking man. Sorry, we have no place for you here. I've already filled that role, so. I'm kidding. We need you. We need you on the ushers. The ushers need you. Well, I mean, we only got four sections, and there's four guys that do it. Yeah, but we don't want to work everybody into the ground and make them do it all the time. We want to share the load. Because if we all share it, we're all going to grow. And this church is going to be what we're supposed to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm done. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, thank you.